shall we gather at the river. Our feet have trod this crystal part forever, flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather we the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Yes. 4, 6, 7, 1, and 4.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he shed on our way. While we do his good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other. Be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will see that His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Okay, 110, Mighty Fortress, 1 and 4.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. A helper here amid the flood, a mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe, the sick to walk us all, His craft and power are great, and numb with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. That world above all earthly power, no thanks to them abide yet. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sigheth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they make heal, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is
forever. Maybe time for one last one. 377. Oh, that's later in the service? Is that later in the service? Is that one of our hymns today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We can sing it twice. Any others? Last call? 378, okay. One and six.
Good to see you.
The sun.
God's grace. You look very cool with that.
Thank you, Diane. That was beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. Welcome to this beautiful day that the Lord has given us. We have several announcements today. Before I start those, please, just a reminder, if you'll find the red pad in the pew and just write down your attendance today. We always like to keep track of who is here. And we'll get started. And let's see. So upcoming, we have birthdays this month. We are starting a new month, hard to believe. So our June birthdays, we have Dina Barwick, Dan Anderson, Jerry Pugh, Mick Gibson, Lynn Stiff, June Fisher, Joan Fox, Stephen Mickle, and Marlene Humphreys. And to all of you, happy birthday, and many more to come. Next up, we have our June newsletter is available in the Narthex. I believe it is also available through the church website if you'd like to read it that way. Also, the first Sunday of the month, we have our Good Samaritan Fund collection, which I believe there are plates in the back at the narthex near the exits where you can drop in a donation there. And those funds are used to help those who are in need that may ask for some assistance from the church. So that's always a good thing to contribute to. And as always, we are the Serial Church, meaning not S-E-R-I-L, but C-E-R-E-A-L, meaning cereal that we eat for breakfast. So we participate in the town's community pantry, and it's great to have a large supply of food items that we can share with those that are in need. So always please bring your cereal. Is it mainly the first Sunday we attempt to get the... Anytime you want. I like that. Anytime. Bring it. And next up is we have our lunch with the pastor that our pastor has graciously got started. So that's coming up on June 21st at 12 noon at La Legend 8 China Restaurant in Cala Mesa. So please take advantage of that. I've heard there's been a great participation, so let's make it grow.
And it's a great food.
And great company too.
Yes.
So food and folks to fellowship with can't beat that. So take advantage of that. Hearts Grow. That's an activity, an opportunity, a chance to grow in our faith that occurs here at the church on the second and fourth Sundays. It says children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of the fellowship time. So again, for those with children, please take advantage of that. And that's in the children's church room. And coming up, our next soup opportunity is today. So if you're are hungry after service, that's at 11 a.m. There'll be some soup and a chance to watch and discuss The Chosen. And is that in the main hall across the way, Fellowship Hall? And then coming up on July, oh goodness, my poor, there we go, it's bigger, July 29th, okay. 9 a.m., they're having an electronic waste drive here at the church parking lot. If you're like me, you've probably got three or four old VHS players and old computers. This is a chance, clean out those closets, bring it here, and drop it off, and they'll be taken care of appropriately and hopefully recycled appropriately. So clean. Do some later, well, no, we're just getting started with spring, so still do some spring cleaning. And lastly, we have the Desert Springs United Methodist Church Youth Group from Las Vegas will be arriving to stay here at our facilities while they do service projects and work up at Pilgrim Pines in Oak Glen. So if you're here on the church grounds and see some kids here, say hello to them and wish them good luck on all the work that they'll be doing up in Oak Glen. Are there any other announcements? Okay, seeing none, we'll move along to our call to worship, which you can find on the screens or in the bulletin. And if you'd please rise as you're able and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress.
He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed.
They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired heaven.
And if you'd please remain standing for our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
All thy walk rejoice around the earth, and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Hill and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Father Christ, our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
And if you'd please, just take a minute and turn to your neighbors and greet them for the morning.
Good morning.
All right. Looks we've got lots of good morning. Good morning.
Helen's waving at us. Hi, Helen.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, not, so good to see you. And welcome, June. And we have a George and Marilyn on Zoom, and also David. Welcome all.
All right, at this time, we'll enter our time for our joys and concerns and prayer time. If you have a joy or concern, just raise your hand. Deb will bring you a microphone so you can share that.
Here we go. I want to start out by asking for a prayer for Judy Lloyd. She was in a car accident yesterday, and she's okay, but she's staying home and unstressing. She had some of the same kind of heart-related stress that Linda did when she had her car accident, so they want her to stay home and relax a little bit and get checked out later. So keep her in prayer.
We had the pleasure yesterday to accompany Peggy Avon and Jerry for the celebration of life for their son, Jerry, who I also went to high school with. And it was an amazing celebration there. There was so many classmates and friends that it actually felt like a high school reunion, and was very, very happy. Mm. And I'm glad we were able to attend.
Well, on my way back, I'll just tell you that we had a really great turnout yesterday for Jesus Revolution, and there were people from our community that came, so that was extra little thing. Rachel Gustafson, the editor of the News Mirror, put it in the paper twice for us, so that was pretty wonderful. So that was really nice to have an outreach like this for our community.
That's great.
And I wanted to tell you, too, I had a neighbor call me this morning because she saw that paper. And she said that her daughter that lives in Texas saw that movie and was so blown away and transformed by it that she went online and researched. And Greg Laurie is going to do another baptism at Pirates Cove on July 9th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if anybody's interested in going.
Very nice.
Anyone on Zoom, put your hand up.
All right. At this time, we'll start our unison prayer. And again, it can be found on the screens. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus,
we wish to sail on a peaceful sea, but with unfavorable winds and waves, life is restless. We are weak and prone to give in to doubts and fears. Help us walk on faith, even when storms come to our path. May we yield to your control, face the gale, and ride on the wave, for you will take us to a safe haven through the tempest.
This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. And during our prayers, let's look around and see where we are in life and all the turmoil that we see in the world. And try to focus on God and see what he is doing in our life. Lord Jesus Christ, over and over and over, we experience storms in life. And whenever we face storms, we are so discouraged and we are overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like giving up. But, oh Lord, we know that you help us overcome storms in the past. We have been through so much, but we have arrived at this juncture safely, all because of your help, because of your involvement in our daily life. So we thank you for your continued guidance, your care, your provision, your blessing, your protection for us and for our loved ones. We know, O Lord, we are very weak without you. But with you, everything is possible. We can endure all the pains of life, and we can overcome them all in the end, because we draw strength and courage from your Holy Spirit and from your presence. As you have shown your love without failing, we have the confidence that your faithfulness is still there, guiding us, taking care of our affairs, and taking us into the unknown. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done unto this day. We thank you because we know that you will not fail us to take us to the safe haven that you have prepared for each and every one of us. So, Lord, we yield to your power. We yield to your control. In spite of all the stormy gales and troubles, hopelessness we see in the world today, for you are our hope, for you are our future. So we give all the cares we have brought to this place of worship this morning unto you. We entrust them to your care and say, Lord, I have done our part, and here we are. I give you the things that I cannot handle, because you have done it before, and you are doing it again, and you will do it over and over. So this is our time of praise, time of thanksgiving, as we believe in your power, believe in your loving care, that with your faithfulness will continue on. And in the meantime, O Lord, we recommit ourselves to continue to carry out your will in the world today, in our personal lives, in the life of our loved ones. May we be your agent, that we may go and share your love with those whom you have placed in our life circle, so that they may experience your living presence through us. We acknowledge that you have everything under your control, and you have special plans for each and every one of us to bless us, that we may bless you and your church and your people in the world today. So we humbly yield to your control and pray that you use us as your instrument, that your kingdom may be built by our prayers, our services, and our presence. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And you may remain seated for our next hymn, which is Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Our scripture reading today comes from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And this is titled, Jesus Stills a Storm.
On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. And he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. This is the day that the Lord has made for each and every one of us so that we may leave the things behind and focus on God's presence and God's intervention in our lives, that we may find God in the middle of the storm. And I pray that we will all hear the message that God has prepared for us this morning. This is, if I remember correctly, second time I preach on the same text with the same theme. But I'm going to go into a little more detail on why the storms, the southern storms were created over the Sea of Galilee. And we'll look at different aspects of our life as we reflect on that gospel lesson. Two ardent fishermen met on their vacation and began swapping stories about the different places they had fished, the kinds of tackle used, the best bait, and finally about some of the fish they had caught. One of them told of a vicious battle he once had with a 300-pound salmon. The other man listened attentively. He frankly admitted he had never caught anything quite that big. However, he told about the time his hook snagged a lantern from the depth of a lake. The lantern carried a tag proving it was lost back in 1912. But the strangest thing of all was the fact that it was the waterproof lantern and the light was still lit. For a long time, the first man said nothing. Then he took one long last draw on his cigarette before rubbing it out in the ashtray. "I'll tell you what I'll do," he said slowly. "I'll take 250 pounds of my fish if you will put out the light in your lantern." Fish tales are tall tales. I mean, you have maybe told many fish tales or you have heard many fish tales. They are tall tales, having so much to do with people's wishful thinking. The tales are far from what actually happened. Life does not run the way people wish. There are too many variables over which people do not have any control. For this reason, people compare life with traveling on an open sea, which exposes how heavily people depend on the external conditions of nature. External conditions. Nothing to do with them traveling, but outside conditions. Internal areas that they can control are minuscule. Jesus calming the storm accurately describes is how weak we are and what the dominant force that kept us on track is. Let's begin with the geographical and weather-related characteristics of the Sea of Galilee and look into fixed external conditions and why the sea is prone to sudden storms. You know, we call it a Sea of Galilee, but it's a freshwater lake located about 40 miles inland from the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. The Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world, about 700 feet below sea level. The main water source for the sea is the Jordan River from the north, which continues down south to the Dead Sea. Now, Dead Sea is the lowest salt lake in the world, 1,300 feet below sea level. So if you look at the map of Israel, the Jordan River flows from north to south, and in the middle is the Sea of Galilee, and then right at the bottom of it is the Dead Sea. Just flow through that way. And because you can tell, you know, it goes lower and lower, and Dead Sea is the lowest lake, salt lake in the world. Now, the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by hills and mountains on the west and Golan Heights, you have heard of the Golan Heights, on the east. The hills of Galilee reach as high as 1,400 feet above the sea level, and Golan Heights more than 2,500 feet. These geographical characteristics make the Sea of Galilee a deep pocket of air. During the day, the air over the sea, it is heated up, but does not escape the sea easily because it is blocked by high elevations in its surroundings. Now, the air in the vast Mediterranean Sea is usually much cooler than in the inland, just like the air on the beach and in inland empires of Southern California. How does the air move? It moves from a cold region to a warm region. As we see a marine layer from the ocean move to the inland empires and onto the high desert. Therefore, cool air from the Mediterranean moves to the shore of Israel, onto the Sea of Galilee. The distance from the shore of Tel Aviv, the shore of Israel, is western shore, to the Sea of Galilee is only 40 miles, which means the air stays cool until it reaches the western hills over the Sea of Galilee. And there is a big difference in temperatures between the air on top of the hill and the air on the surface of the Sea of Galilee. Cool air flows downward and hot air rises. The airstream of cool air over the western hill coming down on the steep slope, that is now, how long is that slope? About 1,400 feet high to the hill, and then the sea goes. The Sea of Galilee goes down below 700 feet below sea level, right? So it's altogether 2,100 feet steep slope. And the hot air escaping fast from the Sea of Galilee. So let me explain the situation there. You know, the cool air from the Mediterranean Sea moves eastward to the shore and reach the Sea of Galilee. And when it reached there, it's only about 40 miles from the shore. So it still is cool, right? And when the air is heated during the day, there's a big difference in temperatures. The cool air on top of the hill and then hot air on the surface of the Sea of Galilee. And then the cool air moves down on the steep slope faster than usual because of the temperature difference. And then when it moves and meet the hot air, the speed increases and push the hot air out, and it's how the storm is created. It's the Sea of Galilee has the perfect condition for a sudden storm because of its geological location and then meteorological characteristic. So that's what happened when Jesus and his disciples were traveling. The Sea of Galilee combined three things together for a devastating effect. A storm, and that happened suddenly. And then, you know, I mean, think about it, if you meet this face the storm in the middle of the lake, the lake is vast. It's not small. And let me give you how big that is. They call it a sea because of its size as well. It's about 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and 33 miles in circumference, bigger than twice the size of the city of Yucaipa. Many of the disciples used to be veteran fishermen in the sea, but they lost the sense of direction in the storm and could not steer to the nearest shore because it's way too far away to any shore. And they knew they could not survive the storm and felt that the death was near. On the other hand, if you compare the size of the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea, which is bigger, Mediterranean Sea is like probably, I didn't calculate it, but about 1,000 times bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And then, so that he has that amount, much amount of cool air over the Mediterranean Sea moving toward the Sea of Galilee. The hills, the geographical structure of it aren't going to change, right? So the air movement from the vast Mediterranean Sea over the hill, down the slope, onto the Sea of Galilee makes a perfect condition for sudden storm. These external conditions, the size of the Mediterranean Sea, the cool air, the amount of cool air, the geographical structure of it, those are the external conditions. They decide weather pattern over the Sea of Galilee. And our life can be compared similarly to the Sea of Galilee because we are surrounded so many external elements that are much bigger than us that decide what is going on in our life. We have the willpower and abilities to choose our path, but the external life conditions are much greater than we are, and we can never control them. Those external conditions surrounding our life makes our life prone to sudden storm, just like the Sea of Galilee is situated. The sudden storms comes unexpectedly, not because we do something wrong, but because all the greater forces out there surrounding us, we don't have any control over. And when it happens, we completely lose the sense of direction in the storm of life. And one very recent example, as we all know, is the COVID-19 that the whole world suffered for the, you know, 3 years, a little over 3 years, and then what is going on between Russia and Ukraine. What should we do when we face storm that is absolutely uncontrollable and that comes unexpectedly? I mean, you have experienced those unexpected storms many times before. I have experienced many times before. What should we do when we face those storms of life? And we have different ways to react to them. But the best attitude is found in what the disciples did. They woke Jesus up and cried out to him, "Teacher, do you care if we perish?" During the storms of life, we may feel the same way the disciples felt that Jesus is asleep. A storm is about to engulf our existence from the face of the earth, but God does not seem to care for our crisis. Think about the disciples aboard the boat in the storm. They did not have anything. They couldn't see anyone that could rescue them, but Jesus on the boat with them. We may question God's love during life and death struggles, but no matter how hopeless we may feel in life storm, we need to remember two essential and undeniable facts about the storms. Number one, Jesus ride on the same boat with us. That's undeniable. You know, you are in the middle of the storm, it's like, oh, God does not care. Maybe God has forgotten about me. I'm all by myself. That's what you think. But in the middle of the storm, you will find Jesus riding the boat with you. That's the fact of life, storm. And the second fact of life, storm, is Jesus is the only chance for our survival. Well, the disciples had only Jesus. There was nobody else, right? Then that's why they went to Jesus and said, "Teacher, do you care if we perish?" Jesus is the only chance. No matter how weak our faith is, how we understand the role of Jesus is, he is the only chance for our survival. I have believed in God all my life and have overcome countless storms by asking God's intervention. And this is something that I don't fully understand. How do those non-believers survive their life storm when they don't believe in God? Storms of life are beyond the scope of human strength and wisdom. We cannot tackle storms on our own. The best policy to handle storms is to get Jesus involved in them and let him command the storms to calm down. That is the best way. A result of our plea to Jesus is quietness and peace. James David Ford, chaplain of the United States House of Representatives since 1979, told the following story about prayer to the Leadership Journal. In the spring of 1976, I sailed the Atlantic Ocean with a couple of friends in a 31-foot vessel. We sailed from Plymouth, England, to New York, 5,992 miles. During the trip, we hit a real hurricane. Some of the waves were 35 feet high. And frankly, I was scared. My father had said, "Don't go. You have 5 children. Wait till they are grown." The hurricane went into its 33rd day, and I thought of my father's word about the children. I thought, why am I here? Was this thing that I thought was courage and adventure really just foolhardy? The skies were black. The clouds were scudding by. I wanted to pray for God to stop the storm, but I felt guilty because I'd voluntarily gotten into this. I didn't have to go across the ocean. Finally, I came up with a marvelous prayer, 7 words. Oh God, I had enough. Amen. Within half an hour of that simple prayer, the sky in the west lifted like a screen in a theater, and there was a blue sky. The condition of the disciples after Jesus was crucified was like a stormy night in the Sea of Galilee. No one expected that the life of their dear teacher would be abruptly cut short. They were fearful of the same accusation and the same capital punishment. When they met, they shut doors securely out of fear. But the risen Christ came and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew exactly what they were dealing with. They were so fearful, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Life is like a restless sea, which knows no calm. Our hearts often become anxious, frustrated, and agitated, frequently experience ups and downs. And Jesus is the only one who can calm us down with his peace. St. Augustine, in his confession, said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Peace of Christ is possible even in humanely impossible storms of life, because peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace the world gives, and the peace that Jesus gives transcends human understandings and human situations of any kind. One of my former parishioners suddenly suffered a stroke and had to adjust to a new life pattern. In the middle of adapting to his new physical condition, he shared with the whole church that he could feel God's peace as if he could touch and cut it. Peace of Christ is not abstract, but real. Our life resembled the Sea of Galilee, a perfect setting for unexpected storms. We may be very familiar with the storms of life, but can never master them. Just like those veteran fishermen in the Sea of Galilee could not. But we can serenely sleep through the storm and experience the peace of Jesus by simply trusting in his care. Amen. Let us now turn to page 13 of our hymnal and prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy. The Lord is with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them before us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Has everyone received the cup and the little cup in there? If not, raise your hand and then Kathy may bring that over to you. Okay. As we break this bread and receive from table of Jesus, let us remember the body of Christ Jesus was broken for our salvation. As the disciples drank from one same cup that Jesus poured, we all participate in sharing the same cup, drinking the blood of Christ, remembering the blood of Christ was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So with remembrance, now let us partake and eating and drinking from the table of Christ's mercy. Let us pray one more time. Lord Jesus, as we have consumed the spiritual food that you have prepared for each and every one of us. May your Holy Spirit come into our being and reside within us, constantly reminding us of the unconditional love Christ has for us, that we may live this life with gratitude and thanksgiving to what Jesus did in Calvary for our salvation. We owe our whole life to you, O Lord, because you are our Savior, and we give our whole being to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, we'll enter into the time of offering up our tithes and offering. Again, there's offering plate in the back where you may leave your offering, or you may send those into the church office. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all the creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power bleeds. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before your cross once more, we are so grateful for the forgiveness of sins and salvation we have received from you. And we are forever grateful for what you did in Calvary. So we give our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us and the blessings you have bestowed upon us. So we bless you. We thank you with this offering. Ask you to bless our offering to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, which is "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river tempteth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, the trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, all the bliss of this glory of thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Let us pray. Lord, we often have doubted your presence, your involvement, your love for us during the storm. We are reminded once more, however, Lord, that you are riding the same boat with us in the storm, and you are the only salvation available in the middle of the storms of life. So may we continue to hold on to you, no matter what, in spite of all the discouragement, in spite of all the disheartenment, in spite of all the despairs we may experience in our life. You are there with us. And this is the blessed assurance we all have. You are looking down on us. You are caring for us. Your faithful presence is always there, and we can always find you in the middle of our storm. So, Lord, give us this faith. Give us this blessed assurance that we may continue to hold on to you and trust in your loving care. And with this assurance, O Lord, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Lord will guide you in all you do. Oh, how he be with others so all.